The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Anna Mateo and Brian Lynn. Later, Steve Ember will present The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Anna Mateo.
If you are driving in the United States, you may see a common bumper sticker on passing vehicles that reads, "Perform random acts of kindness." This saying is meant to urge people to do kind things for others without thinking or planning ahead. But several studies suggest there are some very good reasons to think about ways to be kind and actually plan out that type of behavior. Research shows that acts of kindness can make us feel better and improve our health. Researchers also say kindness played an important part in how humans developed. In other words, they say scientific evidence suggests that we are designed to be kind. The Associated Press spoke with several researchers who have studied the subject. One of them is Michael McCullough, a psychologist at the University of California, San Diego. Kindness, he said, is as much a part of us as our anger or our lust or our grief or as our desire for revenge. University of Oxford anthropologist Oliver Curry is the research director at Kind Lab. Kind Lab is a nonprofit organization. Its goal is to educate and urge people to choose kindness. Curry claims that kindness is much older than religion. He adds that it does seem to be universal, meaning it is something all humans share. The basic reason why people are kind, he explained, is that we are social animals. Other research has shown that many people prize kindness over other values. University of London psychologist Annette Bardi studies value systems in people. In one study, researchers gave people a list of values, such as kindness, creativity, ambition, tradition, security, seeking social justice, and seeking power. When asked to pick the most important, kindness won. Curry said there is another reason people want to be kind. Under the right conditions, we all benefit from kindness. When it comes to a species surviving, kindness pays, friendliness pays, said Brian Hare, an anthropologist at Duke University in North Carolina. He wrote the book Survival of the Friendliest. He said kindness and working together can be good for many species, whether it's bacteria, flowers, or bonobos. He explained that the more friends you have and the more individuals you help, the more successful you become. As an example, he compared bonobos with chimpanzees. Chimps can attack those outside their group. Bonobos, on the other hand, do not kill but help outsiders. Male bonobos, Hare added, are far more successful at mating than male chimps. McCullough says bonobos are the exception, not the rule. Most animals are only helpful to those in their close family groups, but are not kind or helpful to strangers. This, he adds, separates us from other species. It shows our human ability to reason. For example, humans realize that there is not much difference between those close to us and strangers. Strangers can help us if we are kind to them, McCullough said. He adds that this reasoning is the secret ingredient. It is why we help strangers in need. In English, we even have the expression to rely on the kindness of strangers. But research shows that our bodies can also reward us for being kind. University of California, Riverside psychology professor Sonia Lubomirsky has tested this idea in many experiments over the past 20 years. She has found repeatedly that people feel better when they are kind to others, even more so than when they are kind to themselves. Acts of kindness, Lubomirsky said, are very powerful. In one experiment, the AP reports, she asked people to perform 3 acts of kindness for other individuals each week. She asked a different group to do 3 acts of self-kindness. These acts could be small, like opening a door for someone. The people who were kind to others reported feeling happier and more connected to the world. Curry from Oxford examined many different studies that were similar to Lubomirsky's research. He found at least 27 studies showing the same result, that being kind makes people feel better emotionally. But it is not just emotional. It is also physical. Lubomirsky studied a group of people with the disease multiple sclerosis. She found that they felt better physically when helping others. Her research also showed that people who performed more acts of kindness had less inflammation or harmful swelling in their bodies. I'm Ana Mateo.
Are you at risk of getting seriously ill from the new coronavirus? Here are some things to keep in mind. 80% of coronavirus cases are mild. Young and healthy people are at low risk. Other people and those with serious health conditions have a greater risk of serious illness or even death. If you have a cough, fever, and difficulty breathing, contact the doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the World Health Organization website at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
The U.S. government has given the military permission to offer a big part of its airwaves to private companies to expand the country's 5G wireless network system. Technology experts see the decision as an effort to keep up with other countries, notably China, in the race to deploy nationwide 5G. 5G is the next generation of high-speed wireless technology for the world. Experts say the system is expected to bring much higher internet speeds and reduce latency or delays in wireless processing operations. Currently, 5G service remains limited in the United States, and most wireless devices now in use do not work with 5G. U.S. sales of 5G smartphones made up less than 1% of all devices in 2019, a report by market research company NPD estimated. However, major U.S. wireless carriers are working to deploy the technology to as much of America as possible. A June report by the Congressional Research Service noted that the U.S. had less available airwave capacity for 5G development as other countries. It said this is because the U.S. military controls so many of the usable frequencies necessary for 5G technology. Mobile phones get signals from nearby radio transmitters that permit the devices to connect to frequencies to make calls and send data. The 5G system will use three different forms or bands of what is called the electromagnetic spectrum. This spectrum is divided into high band, mid band, and low band. Much of the 5G investment in the U.S. has centered on the high band frequency, the one offering the fastest data speeds. But tests have shown that these high-band waves do not travel far and are blocked by physical barriers. This makes the high-band a poor choice for areas outside of big American cities. China, by comparison, has been investing heavily in 5G networks using the less costly middle and lower bands. The Trump administration decision, announced Monday, permits frequencies on the military's mid-band spectrum to be shared with telecommunication businesses. The Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, will be able to auction 100 megahertz of this spectrum to major companies like Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T, beginning in December 2021. The spectrum could be available for use as soon as mid-2022. U.S. officials say the mid-band is good for 5G because the waves can travel long distances at fast speeds, possibly connecting more U.S. areas to 5G networks. The mid-band spectrum currently supports important military operations, such as air defense, missile and gunfire control, battlefield weapon locations, and air traffic control, said Dana Deasy, Chief Information Officer for the Department of Defense. Deasy noted concerns about sharing the military spectrum with private companies. But he said the Department of Defense was creating a spectrum changeover plan that would limit any effects on military operations. Michael Kratsios is the Trump administration's chief technology officer. He told reporters the mid-band was identified because it can be made available without sacrificing our nation's great military and national security capabilities. Michael O'Reilly, an FCC commissioner, sent President Donald Trump a letter in April urging him to help persuade the military to free some of its frequencies. O'Reilly wrote in the letter that the U.S. needed to act fast, especially when competitors such as China can move quickly to redirect frequencies using all the resources and power of its centralized communist system. The president of Wireless Industry Group, CTIA, Meredith Atwell Baker, welcomed the announcement in a statement. Opening up the mid-band spectrum for private operations will enhance U.S. competitiveness in the build-out of 5G technology, Baker said. I'm Brian Lynn.
We turn now to the making of a nation. Yesterday, we talked about the visits to the New World by Christopher Columbus and other explorers sailing for Spain and Portugal. Today, Steve Ember tells the story of the first permanent English settlements in North America.
England was the first country to compete with Spain for claims in the New World. Queen Elizabeth I supported explorations as early as the 1570s. Sir Humphrey Gilbert led the first English settlement efforts, but he did not establish any lasting settlement. He died as he was returning to England. Gilbert's half-brother, Sir Walter Raleigh, continued his work. Raleigh sent a number of ships to explore the east coast of North America. He named an area of the coast Virginia in honor of Queen Elizabeth, who never married and was known as the Virgin Queen. In 1585, about 100 men settled on Roanoke Island off the coast of the present-day state of North Carolina. These settlers returned to England a year later. Another group went to Roanoke the next year. This group included a number of women and children. But the supply ships that Raleigh sent to the colony failed to arrive. When help got there in 1590, none of the settlers could be found. At least some of the settlers may have become part of the Indian tribe that lived in the area. One reason for the delay in getting supplies to Roanoke was the attack of the Spanish Navy against England in 1588. King Philip of Spain had decided to invade England, but the small English ships, combined with a fierce storm, defeated the huge Spanish fleet. As a result, Spain was no longer able to block English exploration. England discovered that supporting colonies so far away cost a lot of money. So Queen Elizabeth took no more action to do it. Not until after her death in 1603 did England begin serious efforts to start colonies in America. In 1606, the new English king, James I, gave two business groups permission to establish colonies in Virginia, the area claimed by England. Companies were organized to carry out the move. The London Company sent 100 settlers to Virginia in 1606. The group landed there in May 1607 and founded Jamestown. It was the first permanent English colony in the New World. The colony seemed about to fail from the start. The settlers did not plant their crops in time, so they soon had no food. Their leaders lacked the farming and building skills needed to survive on the land. More than half the settlers died during the first winter. The businessmen controlling the colony from London knew nothing about living in such a wild place. They wanted the settlers to search for gold and explore local rivers in hopes of finding a way to the east. One settler knew this was wrong. His name was Captain John Smith. He helped the colonists build houses and grow food by learning from the local Indians. Still, the Jamestown settlers continued to die each year from disease, starvation, and Indian attacks. The London Company sent 6,000 settlers to Virginia between 1606 and 1622. More than 4,000 died during that time. Historians say that all the settlers surely would have died without the help of the local Powhatan Indians. The Indians gave the settlers food. They taught them how to live in the forest. And the Powhatan Indians showed the settlers how to plant new crops and how to clear the land for building. The settlers accepted the Indians' help. Then, however, the settlers took whatever else they wanted by force. In 1622, the local Indians attacked the settlers for interfering with Indian land. 340 settlers died. The colonists answered the attack by destroying the native tribes living along Virginia's coast. The settlers recognized that they would have to grow their own food and survive on their own without help from England or anyone else. The Jamestown colony was clearly established by 1624. It was even beginning to earn money by growing and selling a new crop, tobacco. The other early English settlements in North America were much to the north, in what is today the state of Massachusetts. The people who settled there left England for reasons different than those who settled in Jamestown. The Virginia settlers were looking for ways to earn money for English businesses. The settlers in Massachusetts were seeking religious freedom. King Henry VIII of England had separated from the Roman Catholic Church. His daughter, Queen Elizabeth, established the Protestant faith in England. It was called the Church of England or the Anglican Church. The Anglican Church, however, was similar to the Roman Catholic Church. Not all Protestants liked this idea. Some wanted to leave the Anglican Church and form religious groups of their own. In 1606, members of one group in the town of Scrooby did separate from the Anglican Church. About 125 people left England for Holland. They found problems there too, so they decided to move again to the New World. These people were called pilgrims. Pilgrims are people who travel for religious reasons. About 35 pilgrims were among the 102 passengers and crew on a ship called the Mayflower in 1620. The Mayflower set sail from England, headed for Virginia, but the ship never reached Virginia. It was blown far off its planned course. Instead, it reached land far to the north on Cape Cod Bay. The group decided to stay there instead of trying to find Jamestown far to the south in Virginia. They settled what would become the Massachusetts Bay Colony. They called the colony Plymouth, naming it after the harbor in England from which they departed on their voyage to the New World. The Pilgrims and the others aboard the Mayflower believed they were not under English control since they did not land in Virginia. They saw the need for rules that would help them live together peacefully. They wrote a plan of government, which they called the Mayflower Compact. It was the first such plan ever developed in the New World. They elected William Bradford as the first governor of the Plymouth Colony. We know about the first 30 years of the colony, as William Bradford described it in his book, Of Plymouth Plantation. It is also sometimes referred to as William Bradford's Journal. It actually tells the story of the Pilgrims from 1608, when they settled in the Netherlands through the Mayflower voyage until the year 1647. It ends with a list, written in 1650, of Mayflower passengers and what happened to them. As happened in Jamestown, about half the settlers in Plymouth died during the first winter. The survivors were surprised to find an Indian who spoke English. His name was Squanto. He had been kidnapped by an English sea captain and had lived in England before returning to his people. The Pilgrims believed God had sent them Squanto. He made it possible for them to communicate with the native people. He showed them the best places to fish, what kind of crops to plant, and how to grow them. He provided them with all kinds of information they needed to survive. The settlers invited the Indians to a feast in the month of November to celebrate their successes and to thank Squanto for his help. Americans remember this feast when they celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving Day in November. Other English settlers began arriving in the area now called New England. One large group was the Puritans. Like the Pilgrims, the Puritans disagreed with the Anglican Church. But they did not want to leave the church. The Puritans wanted to change it, to make it more holy in their view. Their desire for this change made them unwelcome in England. The first ship carrying Puritans left England for America in 1630. By the end of that summer, 1,000 Puritans had landed in the Northeast. Charles, the new English king, had given permission for them to settle in the Massachusetts Bay area. The Puritans began leaving England in large groups. Between 1630 and 1640, 20,000 sailed for New England. They risked their lives on the dangerous trip. They wanted to live among people who believed as they did. The Puritans and other Europeans, however, found a very different people already living in the New World. They were the Native Americans, or Indians, as Columbus called them, after thinking he had reached the East.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.